Good morning and welcome to the Fairfield Advantage, the radio program that showcases business events and opportunities and also quality of life issues right here in Fairfield County. My name is Linda Kaufman from Fairfield County Economic Development, and you're listening to WFCO 90.9 on your FM dial. As always, we'd like to thank the radio station for allowing us to help identify what might be or become your Fairfield Advantage. Joining me this morning is Judith Cosgray from the Village of Baltimore. Good morning, Judith.
Good morning, Linda.
How are things in Baltimore? I think they're continuing to stay busy.
We are very busy. We don't know how to stop.
Well, and I think that's good because they always say if you rest, you rust. And I think Baltimore is definitely interested in moving forward on many fronts, on the business front, with the chambers, with those quality of life issues.
Yes.
So as we get started, Judith, let's talk a little bit about Arbor Day, which I've just been reading about.
Yes. Each year, the Baltimore Downtown Restoration Committee has been having an Arbor Day celebration the Sunday before Arbor Day, which is the Friday in April, I believe. This year we're having a little after. It's April 27th, and we were named a Tree City USA in 2012, so we're continuing with that, and we usually plant at least one tree, if not two, and this year we have two trees actually being planted.
And where do those trees get planted, and then who ends up being responsible for them?
We usually have either donations of trees, so a family will donate a tree, or we buy it ourselves. This year we have the Cheney family is donating the tree for Johnson Park. We had the emerald ash borer, unfortunately, had taken out several of our trees in that park, and the stately tree that was over the playground had to be taken down last year. So that one will be replaced. And then the Weaver family is having a commemorative tree planted at Basel Park on the other end of town after the initial planting at 2 o'clock at Johnson Park. And usually they are planted on public property, so then the village maintains it, but we also take the bull by the horn, so to speak, and we make sure that the trees are cared for, that they have proper water in the dry season so that they can continue to grow.
Okay, and I know that several communities within Fairfield County do celebrate Arbor Day, and it is really quite an event. I think it's that turning of the clock.
Yes.
From this horrendous winter that just won't seem to let us go and moving forward into spring. Remind me one more time, Judith, of those Arbor Day tree planting times.
It will be April 27th, 2 p.m. at Johnson Park at the playground, and then at 4 p.m. at Basel Park.
Okay.
And we usually have the Girl Scouts come out. They do a presentation. There are punch and cookies for everybody, so it's just a free family event for the community to come out and celebrate our parks and our trees.
Wonderful. And let's move on to the next topic of discussion, which are chamber scholarship applications and when they're due and who can submit, and just give me all the good details.
The Baltimore Area Chamber of Commerce has given away a scholarship every year, or two scholarships. We usually give out two. They are $750 each. And they can pick up the application at the Liberty Union Guidance Counselor's office, or if you are not in Liberty Union, you can email us at info@baltimoreareachamber.com, and we'll send one out to you. We give preference to chamber businesses and their families, and then anybody in the community can also apply for it.
So the students have to be residing in the Village of Baltimore?
No, not they don't. Do not need to be in the Village of Baltimore.
Okay.
They can be a chamber business. So, for example, if someone has a chamber business and they live in Carroll, they can still receive the scholarship if they are chosen.
Oh, I see. And so then when do they announce those scholarship winners?
The end of the term is May 2nd for taking the applications, and then we notify the recipients after that.
All right. And what are some of the sources of revenue for that scholarship fund?
Our source of revenue for the scholarship fund is quite fun. At our annual dinner each year, we have a dessert auction where we have the tables bid on their dessert, because if you want dessert for the evening, you better buy it.
That's right. It's not part of the dinner. And as just having had the opportunity to participate, and it is quite heated auction at times, and there's obviously that friendly competition between tables.
Yes, because we display all of the desserts beforehand, so everyone can pick out which one they like, and if two tables have a dessert that they have set their eye on, you can get a pretty high premium for that dessert.
So there is strategy
to
the dessert auction, and so we just warn people in advance of attending your next year's annual dinner to come prepared, because there is no dessert as part of the dinner menu.
That is correct.
So if you don't get involved in the auction, you have dinner with no dessert.
And that's very sad.
That is, because the desserts are all wonderful, and sometimes it's just simply hard to choose.
Yes.
So the sources of those dollars for your scholarship come primarily from that dessert auction at the annual dinner.
Yes, we usually can make enough money on the dessert auction to pay for one scholarship, and then the remainder of the profit from the dinner goes to the other scholarship.
Wonderful. So that's a nice way to reward your students and encourage them, and also compliment the businesses and the people that are in attendance as well.
Yes, we try to make our dinner very fun, a little bit different. We don't want anything serious, and it goes to a good cause.
Right. Well, let's talk, as we're talking about fun things, you've got something fun coming up in May that I'm not sure if the Village has done anything like this before or not.
It's been a very long time. I've been with the Chamber 10 years, and we have not had a circus come to town in those 10 years. And when they were counting back on their fingers, I think it's been almost 20 years since we've had a circus in Baltimore.
And let's talk a little bit about this circus and what people can look forward to. And as we're just so ready to leap into spring, a circus sounds like a fun event for all.
Yes, it's a small circus. It's the Culpeper Meriwether Circus out of Hugo, Oklahoma. And they travel around the country doing their circus starting in the spring. They actually have rescue dogs as part of their attractions, contortionists, clowns, none of the big animals, though, but it's still a great time to come out. And on May 15th, there are actually two shows, 5 o'clock and 7:30. Tickets are available in town in advance. The advance tickets are a little bit cheaper than the day of.
So that's something to think about, listeners. So just tickets at the Village. Is there any way, if they don't get to the Village, they can still procure tickets?
Yes, you can just give us a quick email or a phone call, and we can get those tickets out to you. The tickets are available at Flutterby Ceramics, Fairfield National Bank, and Lou Griffin Insurance in Baltimore.
And where will the circus be held?
It will be held at Johnson Park, the same place where we're having the tree planting.
All right. Now, will it be under tent?
Yes, it is a full-fledged circus. So it'll be under the big top. There will be pony rides and concessions, games, just like a big top circus.
When will they be setting up? Because I think sometimes that's as much fun to watch and then just roll into the circus.
What's amazing is, from what I've read, they will pull in that day and they will get it all set up that morning and be ready by 5 o'clock.
You know, I live close to the county fairgrounds, and it is amazing how fast they can put up one of those big tents.
Well, they do enough times within the year. I bet they have it down pat.
I think there is some kind of logistics planning in how they get up and they get ready and they get down. So again, reminding listeners that May 15th, the circus is coming to the Village of Baltimore.
Yes.
Judith, if we shift gears a little bit from all the good fun things, let's talk about that continuing availability for some facade grants for businesses within the downtown sector. If you could just refresh in my mind the parameters that go with that opportunity.
Yes, it's another one of those overlapping goals of both the Baltimore Downtown Restoration Committee and the Chamber. We have a facade grant program through the Restoration Committee that will give you up to $1,000 to work on the facade of your building. So you can get new signage, paint, sidewalks, windows, anything that is seen from the street view.
Okay. And who do they apply? How does that process work?
You can actually go to our website, which is BaltimoreDowntownRestoration.com, and you can print off the application form. We have a four-cycle grant, so it's approximately every 3 months we take in applications to award a grant, and there is a varied scale as to how much you can get. The signage is about $750 maximum. Anything else is $1,000 maximum.
And I'm sorry, these are grants and not loans?
They are grants.
Okay.
So, and it's a refund grant. So you would have to pay for the project in advance, and then we give you the reimbursement for half of that project.
Okay. So downtown businesses within the Village of Baltimore, I think this is more or less a reminder because this has been an ongoing opportunity.
Yes, it has.
Okay. And moving forward, Judith, you are actually serving as the new Baltimore Area Chamber of Commerce president, but you wear a variety of hats within the village, and you are also chairing the Baltimore Downtown Restoration Committee. And let's talk about that good news that you just received toward the Victoria Opera House.
Yes, the Victoria Opera House was an opera house that was built in 1905, and we've been working on it through the Restoration Committee to get it restored, and the chamber knows that that can be a catalyst for economic development within our village. So we've been working together to make things happen, and the Restoration Committee has formed a relationship with Fairfield Heritage Association in Lancaster. And with their help, we have partnered together to receive $30,000 in the capital improvements budget for the 2015-16 fiscal year.
Wonderful. So that will help further that project. One last item of future business, if you will, is the opportunity to learn more about the county's revolving loan fund and how that can help nurture small business startups and business expansions. We actually have a project coming up in June, date to be announced firmly later, to again re-educate or educate for the yep. first time businesses within the village or outside the village on how the revolving loan fund might be a partner in some business opportunities in Baltimore.
Yes, recently I've been getting a flurry of emails from people interested in coming to Baltimore for businesses, and they say, are there funding opportunities? Are there grants? Are there loans? So I always direct them to Fairfield County Economic Development as a first stop.
Right.
And with as many people that have been coming through, we thought, maybe this is the time to have an educational event for those business owners or potential business owners.
Absolutely. So we will, between the office and the Village of Baltimore and the Chamber of Commerce, be getting that information out to business owners, to potential business owners, or those who are hoping to maybe expand their business. We are always happy to talk revolving loan fund with them.
Yes, and we have several establishments that the owners have actually retired this year, so we have buildings available, businesses available to new owners.
Wonderful. Well, Judith, our time goes so quickly when we're talking about the Village of Baltimore. I certainly thank you for your time today. And listeners, until next week, we'll see you on the radio where the advantage we talk about might be yours.